178. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love and the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. On the second verse. Though I forget Him and wander away, still He doth love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. On the last verse, let's sing out. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Amen. I am probably one of the most unlovable people that you would ever meet, but God still loves me. Doesn't have anything to do with me, but everything to do about Him. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad that He can love someone like me, and it's only because of Christ that He's able to love me. It's only because Christ was willing to go to the cross and die in my place and shed His blood that God could put His love on me. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless this meeting. Father in heaven, we bow before You this evening, and we thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for Your love to us. Lord, we're thankful that we're able to sing about it. Lord, Your people throughout all the generations have sung about Your goodness and Your mercy, Your love. And Lord, the song has never grown old. And Lord, it is special to us tonight as it has always been. And Father, Your love is as real to us tonight as it has always been. And we thank You for that. Thank You, Lord, for just showering us with Your blessings in spite of ourselves. And Lord, You're a good God, a great Savior, and we worship You tonight. We thank You for Your loving kindness toward us. We pray that You would bless this meeting. We ask, God, that You would meet with us. I pray that we would be interested as an assembly, as a body of believers, to have our sins forgiven for fellowship. Lord, that we would be filled with Your Spirit. Father, I pray You'd help us to empty our hearts tonight of sin and, Lord, unrighteousness. And, Lord, I pray that You would fill us with Your precious Holy Spirit. I pray that there wouldn't be one that is gathered in this room tonight that doesn't know You as their Savior. And, Lord, there wouldn't be one that is gathered in this room that is not filled with Your Spirit. I pray that You would help us tonight. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Let me ask the men to help me before they come with the offering. We've got three men that are with us to get their CDL license, and that's exciting for me. We have Blaine Darling, and we have Tyler Hooper, and Josh St. Villas. These three men, if you will bring them a visitor's pack, a pen, and we want you guys to keep this and place the card in the offering plate when it comes by in just a little bit. That'll be a blessing and encouragement to us. All these men are from Indiana, but two different churches, and we're very thankful. Josh, if I'm not mistaken, there have been some men from your church that have come before. Is that right? Man, that's wonderful. And I don't know if you've heard the story or not, but my wife was saved out of the bus ministry, and I'm so grateful that we're able to have just a small part in that ministry. Let me mention to you just a few that we're praying for. We'll take up prayer requests in just a little bit, but let's begin tonight praying for Daniel Mullins. He called and said that he wasn't feeling well. And then I've got a special note already. I've received it for Miss Ruth Cochran. She's not feeling well this evening. And then I've got big news. If you hear my phone vibrating, yes, it is my phone. I haven't turned it off. It's right up here in the front. And we keep getting message after message, and I'm so excited about each and every one of them. Our baby grandson was born just about an hour or so ago, Oliver William Hart. And I'm very thankful for that. And what a blessing. Let me get the weight. You need that, don't you?
6 pounds, 13 ounces.
Did they get the length? Was that? Well, we got these on the way to church, so it was an exciting ride to church, and we have plenty of pictures. If you'd like to see them, we will share them with you. As a matter of fact, you want me to pass the phone around now? That's what we would do with the teenagers for sure, but I'm very thankful, very grateful. This is an exciting day. I hope that everyone has a bulletin. I'm not sure if we got those handed out, but we'll take the time in just a little bit to get that. It'll be okay. Let me ask the ushers to come at this time. We'll pray and ask the Lord to bless our offering. Now, if you go downstairs, you'll see a little bit of a mess. We've got it cleaned up for the most part. There's some drywall in the hallway, and there is some corner strip. If you'd like to take a peek in Pastor's old office, we have the door unlocked. There's no lights unless you go in the bathroom. You turn the lights on there, then you'll be tracking drywall dirt back out, so be careful. But we've got the walls started on, and we're converting that into a Sunday school room. And it's going to be a very unique Sunday school room with toddler toilets. And it will have two private stalls on the inside for the very small children, of the smallest of our children in our church. And they'll be able to go in, and the teacher will be able to stay outside, and two stalls for the children to go in and use the bathroom. That'll give us a little bit of relief from the only two bathrooms that we have downstairs. That'll help us tremendously, and I'm excited and encouraged about that. If you'd like to give toward our building project, this is going to cost a few $1,000s. If you'd like to give toward that, you can mark on one of the envelopes building fund in the special need section, and we'll make sure that it gets to that. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our offering tonight. Austin, will you pray for us, please? I'm excited to get these prayer cards. When I get these in my hand, I know everything is spelled correctly, and I'm able to see that and read it, and that's an encouragement and a help to me. Let me encourage you to do that. If you have a special request, you can drop that in the envelope or in the offering plate, and that'll get back to me. I'm also glad to get these three cards from these gentlemen. Got their names spelled exactly right, their addresses, that type of thing. That's encouraging to me. It helps me. Now, Brother Austin can help you understand why. I'm trying to get these names right, and there's so many names that I want to get right. Number one, because I want to pray. And then number two, I want to be able to address the names correctly. So Brother Dave and I had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with Austin and Katie the other night. And you remember we got the names of the children, right? So we were able to make that list. I had it right on my phone. And I was asking if the little girl that was in here a little bit ago was Isabella. And I come to find out that that's the cat. Yeah, yeah, brother. I missed that. I'm sorry. And so Austin helped me out there a little bit ago, and he says, Fred, Isabella is the cat, you know. So, yeah, that's me. I got it, nailed that one. All right. But anyway, we're working on it, and I asked Miss Brenda to help me spell a name as well. So it's not for lack of effort. I'm trying, you know. Let's pray together tonight, and you guys can pray for the preacher. He sure does need it. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us this evening. Who has a special request? Sarah.
Pray for Ron Meadows and
my family. Okay. I asked David right before the beginning of the meeting about Anna Lee, and Anna Lee is not feeling well tonight either, so let's add her to the prayer request that I mentioned earlier. Anna Lee, and then Ron Meadows. Who else do we have tonight? Shelly?
Carolyn Perkins isn't feeling well tonight, so she isn't here. She has prayer for herself and her family. And then Mandy Shiflett, she also asked prayer for having heart issues. She's in her 30s.
Very good. That's Kitty Lawson. Okay, that's Ms. Cochran's sister-in-law. Brother Dave?
A good friend of mine, one of my old school teachers passed away, Joey Beckett. You would just pray for his family.
Beckett? Okay, so let's pray for the Beckett family. Ms. Payton? Very good. That's Joanne Lawson, and that's Peyton's grandmother. Yes, hey, Miss Vicki. And the last name is Ruth. Okay. Okay. Who else would have an unspoken tonight? Very, very good. Many of them. The Lord knows. I'm glad we can trust Him. Someone else? Yeah, absolutely. Brother Jim? Praise the Lord. Good. How's the swallowing going? About the same?
Still have to work on that.
Got you. We can get past that. Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay, and we have her on the prayer request as well, and your family. Kendra, we have all of those mentioned, that you mentioned on our list, so we're praying for them. Someone else? I did want you to make a note, we're changing our prayer service, and I feel like that's one of the most important services of our church. We're changing that from the 3rd to the 10th On the 2nd and the 3rd, we plan to go to Moxville, North Carolina, Brother Daryl Cox's church for their winter revival. If you'd like to join us, please let me know. We want to make sure that you are included in that. If you're certainly welcome to go if you would like to do that. And then Monday and Tuesday, Brother Bill and I will travel down to Knoxville for the Faithful Men's Meeting at Temple Baptist Church, so pray about that as well. I will be taking Marco Hannell's truck back to him. It has been at our shop now, I would say probably close to 3 or 4 months, and maybe longer than that, but he cannot get that truck running, so pray for Marco. Marco has a very unique ministry, and he has a ministry to churches, helping them keep their buses rolling. And, you know, this truck has been a really test for him. He's a great mechanic. He did it professionally. And he's certified in just about every area you can be certified. It has more tools than you can shake a stick at, but cannot get that truck to run. So I do pray for Marco, and Brother Bill and I will be taking that to him on Monday. So pray that the Lord watch over us as we travel. Don't want to miss anyone. I'm going to ask Brother Dean to come at this time, and we're going to pray for our missionaries. Brother Dean has a missions letter. One more announcement. The Valentine's list is out in the lobby. If you haven't signed up on that and you'd like to go to that, we'd want you to sign up on that. That would be wonderful. Let's pray for our missionaries. Brother Don Chetty, Michael Blake, Gary Mann, Jason Sievers, Mike Ferris, Ben Mayo, FBN Radio, Tracy Harjo, Jeremy Rowland, Joseph Academy, Alan Davis, Bobby Goins, Tim Cart, David Roth, and John Bates. Our foreign missionaries are Courtney Godso, James Griggers, Arthur Harris, George Milgram, Joe Wynn, Gardner Gentry. We have 20 national pastors in Malawi, 5 international pastors, Chad Inman, I.E. Abidjan, P.D. Cherian, Alex Buford, James Baxter, Gage Gilbert, Bob DeWitt, John Summers, Stephen Sandella, and Colton Davis. Brother Dean has 2 mission letters tonight to read.
That was a Ford truck, wasn't it? You can't revive the dead. Only Jesus can do that. Fountain Road dead. No, I'm just teasing. It says, this is Ben Mayo family. It says, greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We trust this. I'll read and then I'll pray. We trust this letter finds you rejoicing in the blessings of the Lord. Thank you for the special gifts at Christmas time this year. It was a blessing and a tremendous help to our family. If you don't know, we double support our missionaries during Christmas time. So we can see right here what it does. It helps them out. Amen. This past year has been a great year, and we are looking forward to what God has in store for us this year. I have seen several souls saved this year through door-to-door soul winning and also the prison ministry. We praise the Lord for this fruit that will abound to your account. Thank you so much for all that you do for my family. Thank you for your prayers and financial support. If I can be of service to you in any way, please call me. It is a privilege to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, holding the rope so they can go, Ben Mayo. We also have another letter here from missionary Don Chitty. It says, dear friends, I hope you had a Merry Christmas and hope you have a New Year. Thank you. Happy New Year. Thank you for all you do and did. Our big day was Sunday, December the 21st, because of all you did. We had a good day. Well over 200 in attendance for our big day. Thank you for all your support, the regular financial support, and the extra Christmas money, toys, gifts, cards, and other gifts. We are able to give out 150 backpacks full of gifts, 200 fruit bags, and gift cards for a nice Christmas dinner. The poor are glad to get a gift and very thankful. This allows us to reach people we may not be able to reach otherwise. Again, thank you because of what you did. We had a great day. We also had 2 ladies get saved and 1 baptized. Have a great 2026, until he comes or I go, Brother Chitty. Well, let's pray for the prayer request. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come to a place of fellowship, Father, and Lord, to be able to worship you, Father. I just pray that you'll go with us through this service, Lord, that we get something from your word that'll go with us for the rest of our lives and help instruct us in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless each one of the prayer requests, Lord, the ones that are sick in body, Father. Lord, we pray that you'll give them a touch from on heaven, Father. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with the families, Lord. Help them, Lord, as they help struggle with their families' problems, with their families' health problems, Lord. And Lord, I pray for the ones that are lost, their loved ones, Lord. Lord, how their hearts are heavy, Father. And Lord, they need a comforter, Father. And Lord, you said when you go away, you'd send a comforter. Lord, they need that comforter to comfort them through this time of bereavement, Father. And Lord, I just pray that you'll be with each family here, Father. Lord, I pray that you'll bless each family, Lord. Help us to have strong families. We'd have a strong church, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with the ones downstairs, Lord. Lord, I pray that you bless it. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one of the teachers downstairs, Lord, that they'd give exactly what you'd have them say, Father, Lord, to reach the young people, Father. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless the upstairs service, Lord, that we get something from you, Father, that will help us to grow closer and closer to you, Father. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with Brother Fred as he brings a message tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint him, hide him behind the cross, Father. And Lord, I pray that you'd anoint his lips with what you'd have him to say, nothing more, nothing less, Father. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless each and everything said and done here at Lighthouse Baptist Church would be for thy honor and thy glory. Lord, thank you for all that you do, for it's in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand together and turn to page number 413. Page 413, stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed.
Let's all shake hands.
Book of John. We'll look at John, and then we'll look at the book of Luke just briefly this evening. I want to get you caught up on where we were at. John chapter 5, I want to share with you just one verse there, and we'll move quickly this evening. What we've been doing is before Christmas, about mid-December, we started looking at this thought of the scarlet thread of redemption that runs throughout the Scripture. In and out, in and out. Sometimes it can be seen, and other times it cannot. But I want you to see, according to John chapter 5, and look with me at verse 39, Jesus says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." And then this last phrase is what I want to arrest your attention with. The Bible says, "And they are they which testify of me." The Lord Jesus Christ was teaching that the Old Testament Scriptures testify of him. That is their purpose. Now look with me at Luke chapter 24. We remember that this is the disciples on the road to Emmaus after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. They had not come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ yet. And they were walking along the way, and the Lord Jesus Christ joined them, and they did not recognize him. They were sad, and they had thought they had found the Messiah, the Redeemer. They had, but they had thought that it was a mistake. And the Lord reveals himself to him. I want you to look at verse 27, Luke chapter 24, verse 27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself." It's so important that you mark this. "And beginning at Moses," and what that means is the Old Testament law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. "And then all the prophets," there are 17 total prophets in the Old Testament. And then the Bible says he expounded unto them in, and I want you to mark this, "all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So he walked through the Old Testament showing the disciples that, hey, this is testifying of me. This is teaching of who I am. And I want to get us up to speed just quickly. We've started in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Of course, we're not going to turn there. I'm not going to quote or read the verse. I just want to mention to you that's the first. And I hope that you're marking your Bible as we go along. Now, when we get to the Kings, it's a very interesting study, because you do not see a pre-incarnate Christ. You do not see any direct verses that speak about or prophetical verses about the Messiah. Like, say, for example, you would find in Isaiah that he would be born of a virgin, that type of thing. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to understand how the Old Testament works and how the Old Testament reveals the plan and purpose of God. Remember, every book in the Bible is a book about God. Remember, it may be named, we'll look at Esther this evening, but the book of Esther is not a book about a queen by the name of Esther. The book of Esther is about a book about God and how he's revealing himself to us. Remember that the Bible is a revelation of himself to us. All that God wants us to know about him is in his word. As a matter of fact, let me go a step further and say that we have the completed word of God from Genesis to Revelation. That means that there's no more open revelation. So when someone says they have a dream or a vision, or they have some word of prophecy or word of knowledge, it's not true, because we have the completed scripture. It's far more powerful than someone resurrecting from the dead. It is far more reliable than any other thing that we could have. We have the completed scriptures, and I'm thankful for that. Now, when we look at these Old Testament books, and I don't want to go back too far, but we finished 1 Chronicles last week, and I just want to touch on it briefly because it'll help us understand. Let me go back to the Kings, okay? And I hate doing this because I don't want to take too much time. I'm rambling. 1 and 2 Kings, just very quickly, we understand in 1 Kings, the key verse was 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 11. I hope you have your Bible marked there. And this was a picture of the Old Testament temple and the glory that would follow. And then in the book of 2 Kings, we see the collapse of the kings. And here's what I mentioned. I said they were away from their homeland. They did not have a king. They had no one ruling over them. And here's what God was trying to teach them. It doesn't matter how powerful or how wise the king may be, he is still no substitute for the Messiah that must be sent. And here's what would happen, is all throughout the Old Testament, men would look for salvation or redemption in anything except for God. In the Old Testament, you'll find over and over again, they were trying to find redemption through keeping the law, and that followed them all the way through the New Testament. One of the most persuasive and most powerful things about the Old Testament law was it gave absolute proof, it gave absolute evidence that no one could be redeemed or saved by keeping the law. And here's the reason. For over 2,000 years, God gave the law and no one was able to keep it. Now, let me ask you something for a moment. Have you found that to be true for yourself? Have you noticed that you just cannot keep God's word? That indicates for us in a very strong way that we need someone greater than ourselves to save us. And that's God's purpose in the scripture. He is revealing to every man that he needs a redeemer. No matter how great the king is, old David and Solomon were wonderful. They were great kings, and there were many other good kings. But none of them would substitute for the Redeemer or the Messiah that God would send. Now look with me at 1 Chronicles just quickly. We mentioned about those genealogies last week. And 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 11, I hope that you'll mark this. And there was a seed that was being preserved. And I made a very, very important statement at the conclusion of the message last week, and I rushed it. I'm going to repeat it for you in just a moment. But what I want you to see is, in spite of all the wicked kings that come and went, in spite of them losing their independence, in spite of having and seeing no glory whatsoever in Israel, them having no defense or no power against any enemy, here's what God did. God still preserved his seed through the genealogies. And here's the statement that I made. If you enjoy reading Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and if you enjoy reading Luke chapter 3, the genealogy of Mary, then go back and look at 1st and 2nd Chronicles differently. Instead of with dread trying to read all those names, if it weren't for God's perfect preservation of that line, that lineage, that seed, if it wasn't for God preserving it perfectly in the Chronicles, we would have no idea what took place in the book of Matthew or Luke. All of that would mean absolutely nothing to us. But God is so meticulous. God, if you read the Old Testament, you can't help but see that God is very, very detail-oriented. And understand that God does not miss the details of our life. And that helps me, that comforts me, because there's nothing in my life that God overlooks. God sees it all. And God is very concerned about the details of our life. Let's start in 2 Chronicles tonight. I'll read the verse and then we'll pray. And I want to turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I want to begin reading in verse 1. And I want to read all the way through verse 14. And by the way, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 is probably one of the most familiar verses in the Old Testament, much less the book of 2 Chronicles. If there was a person in the room tonight that I could say, could anyone quote a verse from 2 Chronicles, more than likely you would quote 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Now, I want you to understand that most of the time, that this verse is used, it is a good application, but a wrong interpretation. God is trying to accomplish something wonderful by the time we get to verse 14, and I want to show you what it is. The Bible says in verse 1, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, I love this, the fire came down. When Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed. By the way, it didn't have anything to do with Solomon. It is all about God. It always is all about God. When we get to thinking that we're something, hey, we've arrived at some plateau or some level in our prayer life or in our obedience and our Christian living, think again, you're a great target for the devil. It's all about the Lord. He's the only righteous one. The Bible says, and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. What a beautiful verse. I hope that you'll mark it. And by the way, this is a beautiful picture of Christ coming and filling us with his glory. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice. I love this. Would you mark this? 22,000 oxen. 22,000 oxen. And 120,000 sheep. I mean, listen, you know my joke, right? There's three kinds of people when it comes to math. Those that are good at it and those that are not. You know, that's my math sum right there. But I know that 120 sheep being slaughtered is an amazing number. Think about that for a moment. And 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of the Lord, or the house of God, I'm sorry. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made praises of the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offering, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. There wasn't enough room. They couldn't burn them to God fast enough. The Bible says also at the same time Solomon kept the feast of 7 days, and all Israel with him, and a great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river Egypt. And in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry. Would you mark that? Glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. Here it is. I love this. This is a new paragraph. Let's pause for just a moment before we begin verse 12. They're already gone home. They've went to bed after this day of sacrifice. They've already labored before the Lord. They've worshiped before the Lord. And their day is complete. And I want you to see how their day ends. Solomon goes to bed. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. God says, I'm going to bless the temple. I'm going to use the temple. This is a place where I'm going to come and meet with you. This is a place where I'm going to, my glory is going to descend. This is a place where you're going to be able to know that I am with you. I'm not going to leave you. My presence is going to be with you in this tabernacle. And I want you to notice with me what happens in verse 14. And by the way, if you want the whole story, you have to go to chapter 6 and read the prayer that Solomon prayed. God is literally answering the prayer that he prayed in the previous chapter. Notice what happens in verse 14. The Lord says, if, and this is what Solomon promised he would do, if, and would you mark that word if? I love to say it this way. My kids, Caleb's probably already smiling. I tell my kids, if ifs and buts, that's if, but, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. But they're not. They're not settled. They're not secure because it's an if. It's but this happened, but that might happen. Here's what I want you to see. We have a huge if in the scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. I want you to pray with me and ask the Lord to speak to your heart tonight. Father in heaven, I'm asking that you would reveal your will to us. I'm asking, Lord, that you would make clear and plain what your word is teaching here. I pray that you'd help me and fill me with your spirit. And Lord, I have one desire, and that's to lift up my Savior, the Lord Jesus. Lord, he is worthy. And I ask tonight that you give me supernatural, spiritual help from heaven to be able to brag on my Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I ask all this now in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. So many times you'll see reference this verse for revival. And it is a great verse for revival. The application can certainly be made in the context of revival. But I want you to see that the primary interpretation is God is revealing to Samuel a major problem. Just like we see in the book of 1 and 2 Kings and the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, it didn't matter how good the priest was. It didn't matter how good the judges were. It didn't matter how good the kings are. I want you to see that we as individuals, we as humans are never good enough. I've said this so many times. When it's all said and done and you lay your head on your pillow at the end of each and every day, you will always come to the same conclusion. I have not been good enough to please the Lord. I have not been good enough to satisfy God. You say, well, Brother Fred, what do I do? You cannot do anything. As a matter of fact, the scripture says your works of righteousness are as filthy rags. You will always be concerned about your soul's salvation. You will never have the peace of God. You will never have satisfaction in your life until the object of your faith is turned away from self. And that's what most people's faith is in. Oh, they have great faith, enormous amount of faith. But the object of their faith is in the wrong place. It's in self. We have to understand that the object of our faith must be the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone. When you add works to Jesus Christ, then it all becomes works. It mars the picture. From Genesis to Revelation, it mars the picture that God presents for us that there's only one thing that will satisfy, and that's the Messiah that will come. The judges were not good enough. The kings were not good enough. And I want you to see here, this is so powerful that man cannot live in such a way to please the Lord. I want you to mark four things. Number one, in this verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, he says, if my people which are called by my name shall, number one, humble themselves. Number two, pray. And I hope that you'll make this list in the Bible because it's there. And number three, seek my face. And number four, turn from their wicked ways. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4. Number 1, shall humble themselves. Number 2, pray. Number 3, seek my face. Number 4, turn from their wicked ways. And then the Bible says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands. Now remember, this is answering Solomon's prayer. God is saying, Solomon, okay, if you will follow through with your word, then I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. If they will humble themselves, if they will pray, if they will seek my face, if they will turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. I'm reading through the book of Exodus, and it has brought to my attention again what happened with the children of Israel. Moses is up on the mountain. Moses comes down, not once, but on two occasions. When he comes down from the mount, the people respond the same way. Oh, they are shaking in their boots. Literally, they go run and hide in their tent when Moses comes off the mountain. They get a veil and put it upon Moses' face because they can't see him because he's been with God. And the response is the same. Whatever the Lord says, that's what we're going to do. We're going to obey his word. Moses does not respond, but by one way. If you'll read the verses in Exodus, you'll see it. He sprinkles them with blood, and he says, behold the blood. Behold the blood. Yes, we'll keep the law, Moses. Yes, we'll keep God's word, Moses. And Moses is at the same time sprinkling them with blood. The whole congregation, can you see it? And he's saying, behold the blood. It's the story of the whole Bible. You might say that you'll keep and do his word. But as Moses said, just behold the blood. It's all about the blood of Jesus Christ. It's all about having faith in him. It's all about trusting him. So here's what happened in 2 Chronicles. Oh, it's so beautiful. It is so beautiful. Let's go down the list. Number 1, shall humble themselves. Let me ask you, how well do you do at that? You know, I think I've humbled myself a couple times. You know, I think there's been an occasion in my life I've humbled myself. Yeah, you know, but to say, Fred, are you a humble person? Honey, does that work with me? I'll shake. No, the answer is no, honey. How do you do? How do you pass that test? You say, Brother Fred, yeah, I'm a humble person. Well, how long does that last? How long do you stay humble? Look at number 2. Let's see the second test. And pray. I have determined, I spent so much time this morning, and it was so sweet. Not necessarily praying. I did have some sweet time praying and asking God for his help. Oh, it was so wonderful. But beyond that, the Lord helped me write page after page, and God gave me so many things to preach about prayer, and I'm going to do that later on in this year. I'm going to talk about and preach about praying, and it was so wonderful. But here's what I found out. It's easy to go to church, and it's hard to pray. It is easy to go soul winning and it's hard to pray. It is easy to read your Bible and it's hard to pray. It's easy to tithe and it's hard to pray. It is easy to give a gospel tract out and it's hard to pray. It is easy, so easy to do an act of kindness, but it's hard to pray. It's just so difficult. It goes against our nature. You say, Brother Fred, you don't pray? I absolutely pray. I've been praying for you. I'm praying for our church family. But to be honest about it, I fail more than I succeed. And I'm not trying to, you know, pin myself up against, you know, I'm just saying that I fail more than I succeed. You say, Fred, you're the pastor. I'm sorry. Let me ask you, how well do you do? How much more do you pray? I'm trying. I'm asking God for his help. And I am praying. God in heaven knows I'm praying. And God keeps teaching me lesson after lesson after lesson. Hey, I can read my Bible through chapter after chapter. I can spend hours watching videos from YouTube of preachers. I can listen to message after message after message. And when it's all said and done, I get convicted over every last one of them. Fred, you're reading your Bible too much. Fred, you're watching too many preaching videos. You say, Brother Fred, is that possible? Oh, yeah. Because what's first? The scripture says, first of all, let us pray. The first thing that we're to do is to pray. Not the last, but the first thing to do is pray. So let me ask you, on this second thing, how well do you do? Let's look at the third one. And then the Bible says, and seek my face. I'm glad for what the scripture says in the book of Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled joy. I wish I could tell you that I spend my days. I wish I could tell you that I spend my life. I wish I could tell you I spend my hours. I wish I could tell you that I devote my time seeking the face of the Lord. You say, Brother Fred, you've never sought God's faith? Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes, I have. But is that something I do as part of my life, as a regular habit, as who I am? I'm trying to get to that point. I'm trying to get to that point in my life where I face the Lord, but I'll be honest about it. If I were to say anything different than I fell in that area, I'd be a liar. I'm a liar anyway. Look with me in the last one, number four. And turn from their wicked ways. As a dog returns to its vomit. Why? Puke it up and lick it up. It's disgusting. It's defiled. As gross, as grotesque as that might be, that is the picture that God gives for you and I when we just keep going back over and over and over again to the thing that He sets us free from. You say, Brother Fred, I don't do that. Well, good for you. Maybe you could help me. I need it. And I'm not saying that sarcastically. I mean that. But to be honest about it, if you have that attitude, if you've got that mindset about your life, oh, you need help from God. We return over and over again back to our wickedness. So as God gives us this test, as He gives us this quiz in the Scripture, He says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now, I want you to see the broad stroke. I'm trying to share with you how we can see Christ in 2 Chronicles, okay? What we're trying to do is we're trying to see that scarlet thread of redemption from Genesis all the way to Bethlehem. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to paint a broad stroke picture of what the Lord is trying to reveal to us and what He's trying to show to us. Even the best of the best men like Solomon, the most wise and the most understanding, the most committed men. Would you look again at verse number 4? Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered sacrifices of 20 and 2,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house. Let me ask you something. Have you done that type of dedication? Have you made that type of sacrifice to God? Has it cost you like it cost Solomon? Has it cost you like it cost the children of Israel? I want to tell you, when it comes to myself personally, I am not even in the ballpark. On a scale from 1 to 10, I'm a minus 10,000 or more. Infinity. I'm minus infinity. So do you see the point that I'm trying to make? It's so simple. What Chronicles is trying to help us to see is the best of the best. Those that would be the most elite at following the Savior can't humble themselves consistently. They can't pray consistently. They can't seek God's face consistently. They can't turn from their wicked ways consistently. And what that does is it opens the door, it opens the window of our understanding so wide. Here's what it reveals to us. We must have a Savior outside of ourselves. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse number 14, I hope that you'll mark it some way that you remember. God is revealing to us in His own unique and special way, we must have a Redeemer. The scarlet thread pops through in 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 14 because it reveals so clearly our inadequacy. It reveals so clearly our consistent faults and our failures, and it points to the only one who can help us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our only source of help. He's our only source of relief. I love what the Bible says, the fire came down. The fire came down. How'd that happen? God did it every single time. No king ever did. Only God does that. I want you to look at one more place with me, chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. We're almost finished. I'm just going to do 2 Chronicles tonight. And listen, I don't know how long this is going to take. I hope you're not in a hurry. I really haven't. We're just walking our way through the Bible. Is that okay? 2 Chronicles. I want to get to Esther. I'm so excited about Esther. I've been trying to get there. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Look with me at verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse number 14. Moreover, all the chief of the priest and the people. Look what the Bible says. Now hold on just a minute. This is a brand new paragraph. Moreover, all of the what? The what? Chief of the priest. And the people did what? How much? Very much. After all the abomination of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he hath hallowed in Jerusalem. Wow. Isn't it disappointing? We have the greatest verse in revival, on revival in the entire scripture, and turn just a few pages, and you see what the end result is? Here's what God does. Yes, there is tremendous potential, but you can't meet it. There's tremendous potential, but you can't raise that high. Look with me at verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by messengers, rising up how many times? B times. And sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. And I hate to read verse 16. I just hate to read it. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words, and what's this say? And misused his prophets. For how long? Until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, till there was no remedy. Let me tell you something. I don't care. You can look far and wide, long and deep. You can look in every direction, but I'm telling you tonight, there is no remedy. There is no help for you, including yourself. There is no help for you. There is no help for this church. There is no help for your preacher. There is no help whatsoever except our Messiah, which is Jesus Christ. And Chronicles does such a wonderful job of saying, look, try as hard as you may, put forth as much effort as you want, but when it's all said and done, God remembers that we're but dust. We cannot please the holy God of heaven. Only his Son, Jesus Christ, could. Dear friend, do not allow sin to defeat you, because it has been defeated in Jesus Christ. Don't allow your mistakes and failures to put you into a place of perpetual backsliding because you feel like there's no redemption, that there's no help. God has sent a Redeemer. God has sent a Savior to take care of your sin, the sin that you can't do a thing in this world about, the sin that you hate, the sin that you fight, the sin that you despise. The power and dominion of that sin has been broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. He is our victor for us. There is only one source of help. There is only one source of hope. There is only one source of true love. And that is Jesus Christ. Stop looking at yourself. 4,000 years of history have proved every man, woman, boy, and girl needs one thing. They need a Savior. They need a Messiah. Would you stand with me? We'll have an invitation in just a moment, but let me ask you to do this. I want to encourage you to stop relying on your repentance. Stop relying on your efforts. Stop relying on your faithfulness. Stop relying on everything that you can muster up in your being to please God. Turn your eyes off of self and turn your eyes upon Jesus. And let me tell you what will happen. The peace and joy of God, which passeth all understanding, will fill and flood your heart concerning your Redeemer, Jesus Christ. He is all sufficient. He's all you need. How many of you say, Brother Fred, I needed that tonight. God spoke to my heart. I want you to pray for me. God bless you. Many, many hands. I want to encourage you as Miss Emma begins to play, as Brother Dave begins to sing. What page, Brother Dave? 261, if you'll get your hymn book. Let's sing together. If God spoke to your heart, would you come tonight? You can't come to the altar too many times. Won't you just come and praise the Lord tonight? Just come and worship Him. Say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. How long has it been since you've been around this old-fashioned altar? Don't let anything stop you. There's victory right here. Still time. If you need someone to pray with you, please let us know. Isn't He good? Isn't He wonderful? Oh, what a Savior. Yes, we are more than conquerors. Sure is good, isn't he? Anybody have a special testimony they want to share real quick? Just praise the Lord. Just simply praising the Lord. That's all. Anybody got something precious they want to say about the Lord? That's exactly right. Sarah.
I just want to thank God for sparing my life and loving
me. Amen. And my family,
and my church family.
Amen.
More than I can ask for.
Amen. Somebody else praise the Lord. Doing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. No. I have found satisfaction in my Savior. Who else? Anybody? Vicki. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Shane, go ahead, brother. Amen. Amen. Who else? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Kayla. Glory to God. Amen. Hey, ma'am. Anybody else? Guard these moments. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you think. Speak only of the Lord and only worship Him. Brother Dave, will you dismiss us in prayer?
Let's all pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for all your blessings. Lord, thank you for these truths and God's word that's been told tonight. Lord, help us to share the gospel message, dear Lord, this week. Lord, to tell how you died. Lord, of suffering death on the cross. Lord, let us not grow numb to that. Lord, help us to cling to the blood. Lord, be with us tonight, dear Lord, as we travel home. I pray that you'd bring us back to your house where we belong Sunday, dear Lord. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.